I wonder what service you have done which has changed your perspective on life. I wonder what kind of care that you have given that has changed your outlook on what you once thought before. I wonder if there's a trip, a mission trip, an event that you went on which kind of totally changed your life. My name's Keith Harcombe. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And we continue to go on. This is week 5 of our vision series, Identity. And our identity here at Palm Harbor, our mission, and we're all going to say it together nice and loud because you guys have heard it for the last 4 weeks. If you've been here every 4 weeks, we're going to say this nice and loud together. It's going to be on the screen. Say it together. We are leading people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. That was like way down compared to the last service. So we're going to say it again. Ready? Here we go again. We are leading people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus. And everything we do here is 5 values that help us to accomplish this. And here's the 5 values. You're going to say them too. Say them nice and loud so it wakes you up on top of your nice Holy Grounds coffee you just had. Here we go. The first one is open-hearted generosity. Say that together. Open-hearted generosity. And the next one is excellence in Christian development. Excellence in Christian development. Continuous focus on the future. Let's say that together. Continuous focus on the future. Today's one we're going to talk about today is commitment to missions. Let's say that together. Commitment to missions. And then finally, to wrap all of these up, we must be passionate in our participation. So finally, nice and loud, passionate participation. And that we'll do that next week. Today, we are talking about having a relentless commitment to missions. And when we say commitment to missions, we believe that we care for our communities through mission and service. We are pushing through obstacles and boundaries to connect people to Jesus. What obstacles have you pushed through to connect people to Jesus? What boundaries have you had to overcome in order for you to connect people to Jesus? I went on a mission trip one time that had some boundaries, that had some obstacles in the way. I was the pastor at Wellspring, and we had a sister church in Cuba called Segunda de Bayamo. Anyone ever been to Cuba? Yeah, there's some boundaries, right? And some obstacles to get through before you go to Cuba. First of all, before you go to Cuba, you've got to make sure whether you've got a visitor's visa or a religious visa. And then everything that you collect and everything you put in your bag, you'll be charged for it when you get to the airport, and they'll ask you to pay the government for bringing it in because they don't really need it. And so there's the first obstacle. And then there's the usual obstacles of getting on the plane and taking all your clothes off before you get on the plane. And then when you get to Cuba, we went to Bayamo, which is the south of the island, south of Cuba. But we flew into Santiago, which is southeast. And when we got into Santiago, they kindly opened up all our bags for us to investigate what was in there. And they took out the Bibles and made sure there was nothing in there that was going to be contrary to the Cuban government. I remember when we get to Santiago, when people were being questioned and when some of my team were being dragged off to the side kind of thing and being a little nervous, I remember all I could hear was the squeaking sound of the carousel that they had in the airport, which hadn't been maintained since 1952, you know? There was this, it's like a screaming kind of thing as it went around. There were some obstacles, there were some boundaries to get into Cuba. And we had resources and finances to help this church when we got to Cuba. Thankfully, when we got through the airport, when we got through to Santiago, the Bishop of Cuba was there welcoming us with open arms. "We're so glad to see you." The Pastor Adelma, who was passionate about making sure the church in Cuba was uplifted, who was humble in his leadership, he greeted us with open arms. "Oh, we're so glad you're here, Wellspring. We're so glad you're here, Pastor Keith. Come and let us take you here. Here's your transport." Ta-da! Only 3 of us can get in that, Pastor Adelma. all of us squished in this little car, all six of us squished in this car, and then he did like a combination of Tetris and Jenga on top of the car as they put our luggage on top. And we bounced from Santiago to Bayamo over every hole in a non-air-conditioning car, in and amongst people we didn't know. And it took us 5 hours to get to Bayamo. We got to Bayamo, and the people there, the congregants, were so happy. They also welcomed us with open arms, and they were rejoicing. I think we immediately had a worship service. They were that happy to see us. And we had a worship service, and this was like over the top. It was amazing. We had interpretive dance. We had people singing like forever. And then there was a sermon. Then we sang some more. And then the preacher got up and sang. You think you guys have got it easy? He preached for like 40 minutes. And there was like a pecking order with the instruments, I noticed. They only had three instruments. They had a keyboard, which is about half the size of this one right here, and ran off a little plug, you know. And then they had a tambourine, of course, and a cowbell. Dun, 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 you know. And only certain people could use the cowbell and the tambourine. I noticed one of the kids had the tambourine, and he was playing it, and the pastor looked at him as if to say, "Why are you playing it? That's mine." And the kid naturally gave it over to the pastor. And the pastor plays the tambourine. But I was blessed by my trip there. And I only just got there. Then came Wednesday. And they said, "Yes, you'll be joining us for baptism." By the way, I'm going to start something new here. And if you guys don't like it, don't get involved. Ready? When I say baptism, I want you to cheer. Okay? So when we say, "Hey, we're having a baptism on 24th of October, whenever it is that Jessica said," yeah, I want you to go, "Yeah!" Okay, ready? We went down to River Bayamo, and while we were at the Bayamo River, we had a baptism. Yeah. You guys are better than the last service. That was good. So I got involved in this event on this day in the Bayamo River, and we were all really excited, and we were about to drive down there, and then all of a sudden, a truck pulled up. Not a GMC V8 truck, but a truck that was like in the military with 6-foot tires, and everybody in the whole village got in the back of this truck. And they brought the cowbell, and they brought the tambourine. And they sang all the way to the river because they were so excited that they were getting baptized. Some people, it was the first time. Some people were reaffirming their faith. In fact, one of the people in my group actually got in and was baptized too. Yeah, good job. And we got down to the river, and one of the congregation members had been roasting a hog for us from 5 a.m. And I said, "The Americans are here. Let's feed them." And then we got in the river, and everyone was really excited. And there was about 25 people that day that were going to get baptized. And they had their instruments, and then they got, "Yeah, good job. And they had their instruments. They had the cowbell and the tambourine, but they sang constantly until the pastor told them to stop. And they sang this song constantly. They says, "Recibe el poder de lo alto." Recibe el poder de lo alto, which means receive the power from on high. And they went on, "Receive the power from on high and let yourself be baptized by the Holy Spirit." Yeah! And they kept singing this song, "Recibe el poder de lo alto, recibe el," and we all were singing it constantly. And they were all clapping every time somebody was dunked in the water. And apparently I was helping with this too. And when it came to the baptism, the pastor would be like, "Shh, shh, 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 shh." Yeah, yeah, yeah. The pastor would be like, "Okay." And everyone would quiet down. And he'd say, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." And everyone went, "Yeah!" And he came out the water, and it was an amazing experience. And we went down there with our finances. We went down there with our gifts. We went down there with what we thought we should give. And we ended up receiving, amen? We end up having our mindset changed. We ended up our perception of Cuban people changing. I ended up realizing that the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, was more involved in this little church than my own church. He lived a humble life. He had a house that was on the left, and his wife and two kids and his father-in-law lived in the house. And I realized that the finances that we'd been giving him and raising was actually so that his church, which was in his backyard, could be renovated. This is where they met for fellowship. This is where they worshiped. Somebody told me you should take your neckties down there. Cuban pastors love neckties. So you should take your necktie down there. So I took my necktie down there, and I gave it. I had three, you know, kind of thing, which I hadn't worn for like, you know, a long time, you know, of course. And I took him and I gave him to him. And when it was time for worship, he put it on. And he walked out. He's so proud. My perception was changed. My understanding of where God could be. My whole life was changed. What was the foundation for going on trips like these? What is it that we should really rest ourselves on? Is it so that I can come back and tell you a nice story? Is it so that I can get around the world and visit places I've never been before? Is it so that I can have a connection with somebody other than my middle class life in America? Foundation is found in here. And today we're going to go to Genesis chapter 12. This is the foundation. If you've got a Bible, open it to Genesis 12. We're going to show it for you on the screen, but please interact with it. If you're online, open up another tab to Genesis 12. It's the first book in the Bible. If you've got an app on your phone, now is the time to open that and go to Genesis 12. Here is the first time God addresses Abram and tells him to do something. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you." Now, Abram was living in Ur. You are Ur. He was living up in Ur. And God told him to leave his family. Not sure where yet. Yeah? But he told him, go with your immediate family and take all your caravan for people. A nomadic lifestyle was normal in these times and when this scripture was written. And so moving around was normal, but not to a place that you didn't know. And he says, go and here's what you are meant to do. Here's the foundation for your life. Go and be a blessing. Go and be a blessing. Now, the word there in Hebrew is barak or baraka. And baraka obviously means blessing, but it also has some other nuances to it. It means gift. It means seeking the excellence in a person. It means looking for the goodness. It means having an understanding of the benefit you can be to somebody else's life. He says, so go, you are going to represent Israel. I'm going to do mighty things through you. But this is your foundation. Your foundation is that you will be a blessing and not a curse. You will be a gift to somebody. That when you look for the good in other people, that you would see excellence in a person. And you'd get that out of them. You'd be a gift when you're there. So a foundational question for a foundation is, if I'm going to go somewhere, if I'm going to go to a place, am I going to be a gift? Am I going to be a blessing to these people, to this nation, to this country, to these group of people? Am I going to be a blessing, bring worth, or am I going to be a curse, bring hurt? Am I hurting or am I helping? That's the foundational question for our foundation of going on mission. What are we doing? Are we being a blessing? So that's a foundation. That's what God told Abram, the founder of our faith, and he went. And his purpose was to make God famous. It was to make Yahweh, the founder of our faith, the Father, make him great, amplify him, or a good churchy word, extol God. Extol him and lift him up and show him that you care about people. That's your foundation. That's the reason. That's the absolute foundation. And so if we got our foundation for mission, we got our foundation of what the purpose of is it, but then now we got to find what. What are we going to communicate? What are we going to communicate when we get there to a place? So we're going to go see what Jesus said at the end of Matthew. Now, you might have heard this verse before. So we're going to Matthew, the first gospel in the New Testament. Matthew's account of what Jesus did when he was on earth. And at the end of that text, after the resurrection, he's been on earth for 40 days. And the disciples are like, oh, what's now? What are we going to do now? And Jesus says to them, okay, here's the what. Here's the what. He says to them, go and make disciples of all the nations. Sound familiar? Go. I hope it sounds familiar. Go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What should we do? Should we build homes? Should we fix things? Should we make their system like our system that works back home? It says make disciples. Not be a disciple, make a disciple. Provide a pathway, a pipeline, or a place that disciples can grow in. Make disciples, says Jesus, not me, Jesus. And then have baptism. Hey! Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Don't worry about whether you put a cross on the head like this or whether it goes up or down or right. Don't worry about whether you pour water on the head. Don't worry if you fully dunk them in the water. In fact, you can baptize them in the sanctuary here with a little font if you want. You can baptize them in Tampa Bay. You can baptize them in the Bayamo River if you want. You can baptize them in Sunset Beach. But baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then teach them. Teach them the teachings that I have taught you. You've been with me for 3 years, disciples. Teach them the things I've taught you. Teach them the things that you've seen in me. Don't teach them things that I didn't say because you made that up by yourself. Don't teach them things that I didn't say. Teach them these things. Empower them. Dwell with them. Pour them into other people. And obey my commands. And surely I am with you to the end of the age. Surely I am with you. So we got a foundation. We got a foundation to be a blessing, a baraka. We have what we are to teach, which is to make them disciples. Where are we going to go? Where are we going to go with this foundation? Where are we going to go with this what Jesus said, making disciples? So for this, we go to Acts 1:8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It's just a little flip over from the Gospels. It's after the four Gospels are over. We go to the first chapter. Also, Jesus is in his resurrected body. That means he's come back from the dead. His body is resurrected, and he's speaking to the disciples. And the disciples are like, all right, well, what now? What are we going to do now? Here's what Jesus said. You will receive power. This is verse 9. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So that's the first thing. The Holy Spirit has to be present for you to go somewhere. The Holy Spirit of God has to have worked through these two phases and be in you and has blessed you. And you know this blessing if you follow Jesus. You know that the Holy Spirit dwells in your heart and then you pour that out to others. This dwells in your heart and that's what you want for other people. And Jesus says, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you afresh and this is what you're going to communicate. And when you communicate this, you're going to go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem thought they figured it out, don't forget, Samaria, Judea, and beyond. In fact, he has a bit of a disclaimer and just says, to the ends of the whole earth. That means if you're living in Palm Harbor, you can go as far away as Holiday. You can go all the way south, all the way to Key West. You can go even to Tallahassee because they need Jesus there, amen? You can go wherever you want. But you must have the Holy Spirit at work in your life. So God the Father says, you must have a foundation and be a blessing. Jesus says you must make disciples. And then Jesus says you must have the Holy Spirit in your heart. This must be important to communicate to when you go to these different places. The Holy Spirit has been at work in someone's heart here over the summer. Eleanor Erickson has been our pastoral intern here, and she's been deciding what to do with her life and her mission and her ministry, and she is considering going into missions. In fact, we've got a video here for you today for you to listen to her heart and where God is calling her. This is Eleanor Erickson. Thanks.
I was a pastoral intern at Palm Harbor United Methodist this past summer. I had such an amazing experience being a pastoral intern, so thank you to all who just made me feel so welcome in that position. It was so much fun. Growing up here at Palm Harbor, thanks to our continuous focus on the future, I have always enjoyed mission trips. Going to Immokalee twice in my youth were both really great experiences for me, and now, in this new season of my life, I feel the Lord calling me to missions. As I started to discern my call, being towards missions, at the end of my internship, Pastor Kathy said to me that college is the greatest mission field and the most unique that you will ever experience. And I really took those words to heart. I'm very excited for these next few years that I'm going to be able to reach an audience of peers that I'll never have the opportunity to reach again in the same way. So throughout these next few years, as I finish my degree, I'm going to be very focused on that, with local missions, trying to share the gospel with people my own age who may not necessarily want to hear it. I feel called to missions locally because I think evangelism is something each Christian needs to focus on. And evangelism is such a scary word, but basically just to share with others, to witness to them and say, this is what Christ is doing in my life and this is what he can do in yours. And I think that people who may think they know the good news of what Christ has done don't really know it, or they might not have necessarily embraced it in their own lives yet. So reaching those people should be at the forefront of our minds every day.
Amazing, huh? Missions is really important in that young lady's life. And she did mention it in the video, but Eleanor is considering global missions as part of her life. She is going to a place that needs Jesus more than ever. It's a place that is in deficit of the gospel. It's up for debate whether God is really at work in that city. She's going to London, England. Some of you guys got that. But seriously, she's going to London. I'm really excited as we support her to go there. So at Palm Harbor, in fact, that we have three types of missions that we focus on here. As I mentioned, we have global missions. We have global missions that go overseas to Cuba. We have our own church that we support in Matanzas. And we have our own pastor, just like Wellspring did, Pastor Amado, who we support and you support with your gifts. We also support missionaries in Japan and North Africa. And of course, we have Operation Christmas Child, which are about to start launching that here in the fall as we send boxes all the way around the world. So there's global missions, which Eleanor is a part of. And then there's regional missions. Some of you have been involved in giving to the children's home for years. And thank you for continuing to pour in to people like that. We have our jail ministry here, Kairos ministry. And just recently, we entered into the season of disasters. And you have provided for those who have been victims of hurricane and all those things that happen in our state. So thank you. So we have global missions, we have regional missions, and then we have local missions. How is God calling us in our midst, in our community, in and amongst what we see in our surroundings? And it's important that we are involved here, and we'll talk more about the missions coming up, how we can get involved. But I want you to hear from somebody who's been involved in local missions for a while. And we've got Jim Miller to share his testimony with us now. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Jim Miller. I've been a member here at Palm Harbor United Methodist Church for about 5 years. One of the things that attracted us to this church was its commitment to missions. Over the past 2 years, I've been involved in a couple of key missions here at the church. The first mission is the Pack-A-Sack program. This program provides food for a weekend for a child who is in need. This is done here in Pinellas County and is a local mission. The other mission I participate in is the food drives. I provide food. The great thing about these food drives is that they, in turn, provide food to the food pantries. The food pantries are all religious-based, and based on that, the Word of God is spread throughout our community. Jesus taught his disciples to go out into the world and make disciples of all nations. He also taught them to take care of the needy. By taking care of the needy, we are not only helping them, but we are also spreading the Word of God through our actions. It has taught me to be a cheerful giver of my time, talent, and money. In Deuteronomy 15:10, it says, "You shall give to him freely, and your heart shall not be grudging when you give to him, because for this the Lord your God will bless you in all you undertake." So because we freely give, we are blessed. Because we are blessed, we are able to freely give. What an awesome God we have.
Thank you, Jim. Yeah, let's say yes. And you have been involved in some of these local missions too. Giving Hope was mentioned in Pastor Kathy's announcement, how that is like breached out to every day in and amongst our community, especially Pasco, North Pasco area. So thank you for those of you involved in that. And this is all very nice and good, helping people out globally, helping people out regionally, helping people out locally. But why do we do it? Do we do it so I feel better about myself? So that a psychological switch goes in my brain because I'm giving somebody something so I feel better? Do we do it to go places? Oh, I've never been to Cuba before. Oh, I haven't got to Cuba. Do we do it so that we can experience other communities and therefore enrich our own life? Why? Why go? Romans tells us why we should go. Paul, this is our last scripture for the day. Paul, who was responsible for communicating the gospel around the Mediterranean and the near areas, said that this is why we should go. And he addressed his letter to Rome, one of his key books in the New Testament, which most of us, most people quote a lot. And it's a great book. Here we go. Romans chapter 10. We can go there now. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. How can they call on him, Jesus, to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of him who bring good news. Why do we go? Why do we go on mission? Why do we have a commitment to missions, whether they're locally, whether they're regionally, whether they're globally? Why do we go? So that people will hear. Not so that they listen and go, oh, that's nice. It's so that people will hear, it comes in here and goes down to here. So that people will hear. You can't just throw them a Bible or throw them a check. We've got to tell them about Jesus and tell them about how Jesus has affected our hearts and how God has worked in and amongst our life and our church. How are they going to hear unless we don't tell them? How are we going to let people know that we love them, that we let them know that we want to be a blessing to them and a help and not a hindrance and a blessing, not a curse? We have to go. We have to go and tell people where we want them to know, what we want them to know. We want them to know that Jesus wants the best for them. And we provide things in order to communicate that. Where do we go? Where do we go? We go locally. We go regionally around our areas. We go as far as places as Holiday and all the way down to that place called Key West. We go even near our back door. And we go because Jesus wants us to go. And he told us to go. Are you with me? Do you want to go on missions? Do you want to go and baptize people? Do you want to be a part of God's mission in and amongst this world in Palm Harbor, regionally and globally? The mission of this church is that we lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. And we do this through a fervent, adamant commitment to missions. If you want to do that today, let Pastor Kathy know. If there's people who you know that in and amongst your ministries that are involved in these areas, let them know. Write it down on your little card, drop me a note, whatever it is you want to do, send me an email. But get involved. Get involved in going on mission. Get involved in telling people who Jesus is to you. Holy, gracious God, we come before you today asking that you'll work in and amongst our hearts to be passionate about our commitment to missions. Guide us, Lord, as we seek how to do that globally. Guide us, Lord, as we seek how to do that regionally, in and amongst disasters and children's homes and jails where things happen all the time. Guide us and show us how to do it locally in Palm Harbor, in and amongst the surrounding areas. But Lord, may we do it not for ourselves. May we do it not so that our church is glorified. May we do it not so our surroundings are glorified, so that you are glorified, and your name is made known, and your life is made known in us. We ask this all in the precious and powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen.